Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
That's negative, Control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly and seamlessly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage process on your own and completely online.
Copy that, QL1, but if I wanted to speak to someone, do you think they're out there?
They're out there, all right. I've made contact before. In fact, according to J.D. Power, they've provided award-winning client service for 6 years in a row.
Roger that, QL1. It's nice to know they're out there, wherever they are.
Detroit, Control. They're in Detroit. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
And we welcome you back. It is the program All About Your Dough coming up this hour. We got more topics, more money topics of the Brain Trust. More questions answered, more dispensation of money wisdom, if I can be so pompous as to put it that way, which I've just done. Bucket Strategy Investing. I'm Johnny Dean, got the professor back. That's right, Rick Plum, standing by to address all of your money questions in both phone call and email form. We're also going to get to more of your emails, as I said, as they come in. In fact, we're going to start the hour off with these emails as we get through a lot of these. They have been sitting here for a little while. So, we'll include those from the last hour, and as well as the ones that found their way into our studio in just a few moments. Okay. Oh, all right. So we'll take the calls first. I did mean to tell you that. If you're on hold, we do take those. After we take some calls, we get to some of those emails. You can call us right now, by the way. A couple of lines open still, but they're going to fill up fast. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. If you want to get your emails to us here in the studio, you go to wealthed.com. You find the link at the top. It says find your answer, and we will get to it this hour, I think. We'll see. On the air. Wealthed.com. That's our website. It's also where you're going to find blog posts, audio, video, articles that we refer to on this program, all kinds of stuff. Phone calls do take priority, though. So if you call us right now, we'll get you up on the board right away. Got a couple of lines open right now. Wealth education. That's what we do on this show. It's what we try to provide to you every day. And of course, much of what you see and hear on our show can be found at wealthed.com. You can also contact the Brain Trust off the air at their off-air number. How about that? 800-644-1150. The number at Lucia Capital Group, which sponsors this hour of the program. You can give them a call, meet with a Brain Trust advisor, go over your individual situation, get your bucket strategy going. Again, Professor Plum is at that number, and as are all the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. 800-644-1150. But once again, the important number right now on the air, 877-PLANNER. P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Took a lot of great questions last hour. Kind of ran the gamut. We were talking quite a bit last hour about Roths, Roth IRAs, withdrawals, the rules, that kind of thing. Going to cover some more of that this hour if we have time. We really didn't get into, Professor Plum, all the stuff on the conversions, when you should do a conversion. We had a question on that. Is it better to do it early in the year, late in the year? What should you convert and undoing and all that stuff? But we'll get to that in just a bit. Oh, by the way, if you're just tuning in, this is, say hi.
Good morning, everybody. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Good evening, depending upon when you're listening to
or
this.
Or good weekend. Sometimes they replay these shows on the weekend. You just never know. But it's nice to have you
Isn't
back.
Isn't good weekend kind of redundant?
Kind of depends. If you're working over the weekend,
oh,
it may or may not
be. Oh, I did
that
a lot. Yes, I've done that a lot.
Done it myself. Okay. 877-PLANNER. I'll take a couple of calls before we get to these emails. Let's move along. First this hour, Debbie in Las Vegas. Hello, Debbie.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. Good. I just had a question. My dad passed in 2011, and then I took control of some his stock. Well, I inherited some mm-hmm. stocks from him in 2014. Mutual funds, ETFs. So when I sell those, do I owe taxes on them?
You owe taxes on the gains that have occurred since the date of his death. When you say he died in 2011, and you inherited them in 2014, did they first go to your mom and then she passed and you got them, or they were just sitting in the account?
It took us a while with the trust to get settled.
Right, but it was just dad's money that finally came to you in 2014.
Correct.
Okay, so you're looking back at the basis as of the date he passed in 2011, And then you're going to look for, okay, I inherited, when I inherited, it was worth $50,000. And today it's worth $87,000. Now, not all 37 in that example is potentially gain, because you probably have been reinvesting the dividends that, and capital gains that have been being realized each year in those. So any time that new money was added to it, because the dividend was reinvested, the capital gain was reinvested, that adds to your basis. So you're going to go back and start with the 2011 date, and then any new money that went in adds to the basis, and the difference is now the whatever the gain is.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Debbie?
Well, is there an easy way to figure that out? Does Vanguard have a...
If it's always been at Vanguard, I would start with, or whoever it is, whether it's Fidelity, whether it's a brokerage account, I would start with them and say, okay, can you help me find my basis as of, remember, the basis changed as of whatever date your father passed. So okay, let's reset it and see if they can do that for you. Hopefully they'll redo it for you.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Debbie. If you need some more help on this, hold on. Yeah, there's a step up in basis on the inherited portion of the stock. Now this, I guess I'm confused. It went from her father to her. It didn't go to her.
No, it went from her. It was her father's money.
Right.
And
he died
in 2011. It took him 3 years to basically settle out the estate.
Yeah.
It was all in the trust, but stuff happens. Family happens.
Yeah.
Real estate and everything. They didn't actually put it into her name until 2014. Well, that doesn't have any change of basis, because that was just a movement from his trust that did get a step up in basis on the date of his death to her name. The reality is, if they had cleared the estate sooner, it would have transferred to her sooner. The date it transferred in title from his trust to her doesn't change the basis. The date he died transferred. So it's either death or an actual sale that creates a different basis. But the transfer doesn't change the basis.
Right, just because it took a long time to go over doesn't mean that it's the 2014 basis.
No, it's not the 2014.
It's the 2011 basis.
Date of death.
Depending on what kind of stocks it was, I mean, it's.
It was probably a big difference.
The value between 2011 and 2014, especially if it was an ETF.
Or S&P type oriented, because those,
exactly.
2013 was a good year.
It was a very good year, as Frank Sinatra said. And yes, I mean, that you wind up, but hey, and here was the other thing too that you got to keep in mind. You brought this up. If there are any dividends that have been reinvested since 2011, those which added to the basis, they're
that's something that you paid taxes on. If I have a mutual fund that issues dividends or has a capital gain and it's reinvested, I don't actually see the money. It doesn't go into my bank account and I send them another check. It just happens internally, but I'm still paying taxes on those capital gains and distributions. That's as if they sent me a check and I sent them back a check to put new money into the account. Every time I put new money into the account, adds to my basis.
Now, are those qualified dividends or are they taxed at ordinary income?
Depends
rates?
On what kind of mutual fund it is.
So if it's a
common stock, yes, it'll be qualified
or preferred
dividends.
Stock, I guess.
Preferred stock won't be qualified dividends.
Oh, it's not.
REITs, not qualified dividends.
Oh, that's right. Yes, real estate, I knew that.
Not
yes.
qualified yeah. dividends.
All right, just common stock.
Common stock for the most part, yes.
Okay, all right. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Let's keep moving along. Walter in Seattle, Washington. Hello, Walter.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Hey, just a question for you. I'm 44. My wife's 40. We're doing well as far as our 401ks and our IRAs are concerned. But I'm wondering, I've always had an itch to maybe invest in a rental home.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if there's any roundabout way to take the dollar amount out of a Roth IRA and use that as a down payment for a rental home.
Potentially, yes, and potentially pitfalls. Now, you're looking. You can buy real estate inside the Roth, so you're not taking the money out of the Roth. You're not loaning
right.
it to yourself or anything like that. The Roth IRA could potentially buy the real estate if you get the right custodian. Now, how much is in the Roth IRA right now?
Mine, $90,000.
Okay, and how much is the property you're looking to buy?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I was thinking, obviously my goal would be to put 20% down, so I guess
it's
that would
very
be,
difficult. Yeah. The people will make it seem like it's really easy. but it's very difficult right. for the Roth IRA to qualify for a loan. So you would want to have, so you're looking for buying like a $400,000 property. And so for right. that Roth IRA to qualify for a $310,000 loan is not going to be easy, because they right. can't use you to qualify for the loan. Your income means nothing. Your credit history means nothing. The entity is the Roth IRA. The Roth IRA has an income of what? It has the income of potentially you contributing $5,500 a year to it, and or whatever is being earned in the Roth IRA. For a lender, are they going to lend to somebody who only has the potential infusion of cash of $5,500? They're going to make a $310,000 right. loan for really good prices? And that, so if you're buying it all cash, fine. If you're buying it for a very small amount of loan that you could have paid off for before you sell the property, fine. There's issues with selling a property inside of an IRA that has a loan against it. It creates right. a taxable event at the IRA level. So I'm not real thrilled about using it for in this case.
Okay. No, that answers my question. That's why I was calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad you called, Walter, and this is why you ask these questions. You get our opinion on that. We've talked many times before about real estate inside of an IRA.
Now, he could withdraw his contributions, because his contributions are available to him
sure.
at any time.
Sure.
I don't know how much of that 90 is his contribution.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's going to this still gets rid of some of the benefits of owning real estate too, by the way.
But inside a Roth is not so bad, because it's going to be ultimately tax-free at age 59 and a half.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about some of the problems in a traditional IRA.
Well, that's true. And required minimum distributions for the owner, you don't have that, which you would inside of a traditional IRA. Okay, but that's right. In this case, though, the IRA still owns it. All right, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, fill the lines up. We're taking more of your calls when we come back.
At Lucia Capital Group, we believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education: learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice: get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning: choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
How do you know if there's more you can add to your investment strategy?
How do you know if there's more you can do?
How do you know?
How do you know how you can manage risk?
How do you know if insurance fits in your strategy?
How do you know what other investments are available?
How do you know?
Where do you go?
Where do you go?
Where do you turn to learn about financial planning? Where can you access the information that may help you make informed decisions about investing? Lucia Capital Group has an online resource with original programming, on-demand videos, and informative articles all designed to educate you about creating a strategy for your financial future. It's WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, not just a website, an archive of financial topics that could answer some of your most fundamental questions.
How do you know? Where do you go?
Go to WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, a service of Lucia Capital Group, an online financial education center. Learn more. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
My yard needs a ton of help. The best looking part is the garden gnome.
I told Linda she came to the right place. We have exactly what her yard needs.
Ace is the place where lawn advice is always free. And speaking of free,
right now during our BOGO sale, when she buys one select item, she'll get another designated item free. Like buy Scott's weed and feed and get Scott's lawn food free. BOGO offer valid on select items through April 25th. See participating stores for details and limits. Store stock only. Scott's bag covers 5,000 square feet.
When you've got a specific job to do, you bring in the specialist, the edger, the trimmer, the leaf blower, other tools that end with er. Good thing there's VP Small Engine Fuel, now just $4.99 in Napa, with no mixing, no measuring, and no mess. $4.99 VP ready-to-use small engine fuel burns cleaner, so all your lawn equipment runs smoother, better, and other adjectives that end with er. That's Napa know-how. at participating NAPA Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 4/30/16.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
This is great. Man. Prince on guitar. Oh, man. Yeah, so Prince passed away.
That's what I'm hearing on the
57 or so, 57, 58, something like that. Man, this has been a bad, as if you need me to tell you this, it's been a bad year for the entertainment / rock and roll genre in general. Man, oh man. So anyway, if you haven't heard this particular version, I would urge you to go buy it. or
download it.
Go to YouTube, whatever. I mean, you can find it on YouTube. This version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps, which I think was, this might have been the George Harrison tribute concert with Danny, his son, and what is that? Oh, Tom Petty, yeah, the whole group from the Traveling Wilburys. So anyway, yeah, it was great. Just a wonderful whole guitar solo. So anyway, there you go. Okay, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Speaking of groups, by the way, there's going to be a big group or whatever. Whatever we can fit in Santa Clara. Professor Plum, you're going up there. It's up from here to Santa Clara, California on the 30th of April. It's a Saturday morning. At 9 o'clock, at the 9 o'clock start, it's part of the Wealth Education Retirement Workshops presented by Lucia Capital Group. Professor Plum will be there. You can meet him. John Ellis, many of you already know him, world famous advisor in Santa Clara, California. Well, I mean, famous in sections of the world. You can meet him as well. Get your questions answered, talking all about retirement income strategies and helping you out with whatever money situation that you might have. So go to wealthed.com, our website, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. Sign up. It's all free. We'd love to see you there in Santa Clara just a week from Saturday, April the 30. Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number. I had said this before we get back to the calls. We got three lines open right now. Give us a call. I do want to get through some of these emails, at least just a couple of them here, before the top of the hour. Sam in San Jose. I have a few rental properties. I heard you saying that the LLC state fee is not deductible toward rental expenses. Can you please clarify as to why it is not? He goes on to say, I thought all expenses related to rental properties can be deducted. Also, I have bought an umbrella policy to protect the liability from the rental. Can that be a deductible rental expense?
Well, the LLC, we were talking about the state of California LLC and the state of California income taxes. And the state fee is not deductible on state taxes. It is deductible on the federal taxes. So it is a deductible expense federally. It's actually a tax. And so it is just like mm-hmm. paying any other state tax for your returns. But just like a state income tax in the state that you're living in is not a deductible event for the state income tax return for that state. Did I say that?
Yes. Right? Yeah, we got it.
And insurance is deductible as well. So the liability insurance for that property, for the benefit, you know, to protect yourself from that property, is also deductible.
But you're saying it's deductible on the federal, not at the
that
state
was
level.
The insurance is deductible both.
Yeah.
But the state fee is a state tax, basically, and state income taxes are not deductible at the state level.
Well, it'd be interesting if they were. I don't know how you could work that out.
Be nice.
Mathematically.
But that's why a lot of people, you'll see, if you get a refund, if you live in a state with a state income tax and you use it as an itemized deduction, the next year you'll see the deduction or the refund come back as a potentially taxable event.
Yes.
Because you deducted everything you paid during the year. When you got a refund, it meant that you weren't supposed to deduct it all because some of it wasn't a legitimate, and you got to bring it back.
Right, of course. So that's your answer, Sam. Thank you for emailing. Let's move along to Ken in Spokane, Washington. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Ken says, I'm 68, took my Social Security at 62, currently $1,500 per month. My wife turned 66 in December. That's this coming December. She would like to retire and let her Social Security grow until age 70. Will she be entitled to half of my Social Security until she reaches 70? And if so, will she receive $750 or half of my full Social Security benefit if I'd waited to age 65 to take mine? Did you get all that?
I did. And if she wants to wait until age 70 to take her own, she'll also need to wait until she turns 66 to take half of yours. She's not eligible until she's 66 to choose to take only half of yours. Now, the fact that she was 62 before the end of 2015 means that she still does have the choice of taking only a spousal retirement benefit from your work record, because you are receiving a benefit, and she will be 66 in December. Once she turns 66, or right when she can apply for it to start when she turns 66, she's eligible to choose to take the restricted application. And so she can, if she waits until December, she can choose to take the, you know, the spousal retirement benefit. Now for the better news, she's not going to get half of $750. She's going to get half of $2,000. $2,000 is what you would have received if you had waited until your full retirement age, happens to be 66, not 65, but that doesn't matter. She'll get 50% of your full retirement age benefit, not 50% of what you're receiving. She'll get 50% of $2,000. She'll get $1,000.
Now let me ask you though. 50% of $2,000. His Social Security at age 68 is $1,500 a month.
No, he started at 62.
No, I understand that, but he says it's currently what he's receiving is $1,500 a month.
Right, but ignore the cost of living allowances because they affect both sides. His benefit, if he had waited at 62, he took a 25% haircut.
Yeah, right.
So his full retirement age benefit based on a $1,500 early benefit would have been $2,000.
At this point. Okay, all right, I got you. Well, at this point, it's age 68, right?
No, at this point, it's 62 plus cost of living since 62.
Yeah, okay, this is where the confusion starts, and it's actually confusing me a little bit here.
He took his benefit at 62.
Yes, he did. So he took a reduced benefit. Right.
He took a 25% haircut because his full retirement age benefit was 66.
Right. If your his full retirement age was 66.
If your full retirement age is 66, but you start right at 62, you're getting 25% less of a benefit because they expect to pay it longer. So if he had waited until 66 to take his benefit, it now would have been $2,000 a month.
Ignoring cost of living adjustments and all
that. Based on cost of living, because he's at 15 with cost of living.
Okay, so because what we're saying is 1,500 is currently is 25% less of 2,000.
Than what he would have received if he'd waited until 65.
See, it would make 66. Sense to me if he were getting $1,500 a month and he were 66.
Why? He earned 2,000 when he was 66. If his full retirement age benefit was
$1,500, I'm just saying this is where the confusion
he would have only gotten $1,125 at 62.
I'm taking your word for it on that, but I'm telling you because of he's getting $1,500 at 68. I get it. Don't never mind. Forget me.
$1,500.
Pay no attention
after cost of living allowances.
Right.
Because he started at 62.
I get it. Pay no attention to me. All right. I'm just blathering on here because it's confusing. But it's what happens is the spousal benefit is based on the worker's full retirement age, regardless of when they took the benefit.
Yep. If he had waited until 70, his benefit would have been almost $2,700 a month.
But it still would have been based on.
She's not going to get 50% of $2,700. She's going to get 50% of half of his, or 50% of his full retirement age benefit.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I should have just kept my mouth shut, is what I should have done.
No comment.
No, I'm not saying anything's wrong.
I'll just talk to Adam from here on out.
No,
are you catching on to this? You
doing
okay?
Okay. I'm not saying anything's wrong. I'm just... Bucket strategy investing.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, we're here answering your questions. Don't go away. I think we'll be back with more of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Many investors are well aware of the start the stock market had in 2016. According to CNN and other news agencies, the Dow dropped 5.5%, NASDAQ fell 7.8%. The losses raised the fear of whether we could be heading for another sustained market downturn like 2008. And for many, it raised the question, what should I do now? If the bumpy start to the year raised questions about how your retirement strategy may be exposed to market volatility, or if you don't have a strategy that takes stock fluctuation into account, schedule a consultation with a Lucia Capital Group advisor to review your portfolio. Learn what options you may have to take a fragile market into account. Contact a Lucia Capital Group advisor at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or turn to us for education, advice, and planning online at wealthed.com. Wealthed.com. Advisory services offered through Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and member SIPC. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principle.
How would you rate your financial literacy? Is there more that you can do and more you should do to educate yourself about investing?
The November 2015 S&P Global Financial Literacy Survey determined that 2 in 3 adults worldwide are considered illiterate regarding their knowledge of basic financial concepts. The United States ranked only 14th worldwide in financial literacy.
So where can you go for information and guidance? Where can you build your knowledge base to help you make informed financial decisions?
WealthEd.com is the website focused on financial literacy and wealth education. WealthEd.com features an extensive on-demand video content library for education, planning, and advice that you can access for free.
WealthEd.com's original and exclusive programming features Lucia Capital Group certified financial planner professionals and retirement planning strategists.
WealthEd.com.
Online, on demand, WealthEd.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
If you have sore joints, discover a breakthrough in joint health. Cosamin ASU. A unique patented formula, Cosamin ASU goes to work fast on a cellular level inside your joints. Its active ingredients are shown to inhibit specific enzymes that break down cartilage as you age, helping protect the joint cushioning cartilage important for comfortable activity. Try Cosamin ASU at Costco.com and other fine retailers.
And now, a touching moment while staying in touch with Geico.
Just the other night, as I gazed up into the sky, I saw a shooting star. In that moment, I made a wish that Geico would be available 24/7, by phone, on the web, or with the Geico app. After that, I realized my wish had already come true. So basically, I had just wasted a perfectly good wish. Then I started to think about dolphins and felt better right away.
Geico. Anywhere, anytime.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-3719. That's 1-800-352-3719.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2America, red, white, and you.
More for Plum.
Oh, and you.
Oh, I'll take this too, yeah. Rubber biscuits. That's right. Professor Plum, standing by with me, Johnny Dean.
The briefcase full of blues.
That's right. Great album. Great album. Played some good music today. Way to go, Daniel. Appreciate that. And Andy, too. All right. 877-PLA-NER. I'm going to get back to the phones. We still have some more emails to get to. And anything else, anything that's on your mind from a money, financial, retirement, whatever standpoint, you give us a call and we will talk to you about it. Let's move along to Mike in Fremont, California up next. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I have a question for you. This is on the Form 1099 dividend.
Okay. DIV, yeah.
And there are two line items. One is non-dividend distributions, and the other is cash liquidation distributions. What are those?
I'd have to go look them up on the instructions. So one is a non. One's a. You know, I'd have to look them up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Cash. What was the first one called?
Non-dividend distribution.
That might be a one-time. It came from some other source, and I'm not sure. I'd really have to look up the different codes on that. Right now, it'd be probably pretty hard to call an accountant because I think they're all shut down for about a week while they recover from tax season. But I would have to look at the instructions on those.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Mark. Mike.
Thanks.
Okay. That's we don't have the forms here. I suppose we could look them up, but I don't know how easily we could find some of that stuff. So, okay. Well, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Maybe every once in a while we should have access to some kind of tax accountant or, you know, somebody who lives with these forms and understands what all of them are.
Yeah, but they're a pain.
Who, the accountants or the actual forms?
Okay.
Okay, I don't know which way you're going on that, but okay. All right.
No, but and this is why accountants have jobs. I mean, this stuff is complicated when it gets down to the nitty-gritty number crunching. Strategy-wise, piece of cake, but some of the distributions are going to be dividend distributions are going to be return of principal, especially if you're dealing with some of the more alternative type investments, real estate investment trusts, BDCs, and things like that.
Where you're getting back some of your own money that you put in,
or in the form of real estate, because it's a mutual fund, it can't pass through depreciation through to the shareholder. But
there is depreciation there.
And so what they do is, instead of cashing through a depreciation that has to be recaptured, it's reclassified as a return of principal. And so if I had $100,000 in there and I received $6,000 in cash flow, maybe all of it's taxable or maybe some portion of it's taxable. And the portion of it that's not taxable would be treated, it's still a cash distribution, but it's treated as a return of principal, and that reduces my basis going forward. But that's, you know, so it's very... something to keep track of, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. 877 Planner, PLANER. A couple more emails to get to. I said I wanted to try to get through as many of these as I can because they've been sitting here, some of them, for a little while. But many of you have already gotten answers off the air. So let's move along next to Hans Bubby. Right?
That was on TV last night.
Was it really? A little
yes.
Diehard for you there. in Redwood City, California. All right. We are in the process of creating a revocable living family trust, which got recommended by the attorney. Being married, not being the best one, creating some issues, mainly dividing the properties, which are our residence and two duplexes held in joint tenancy. Not sure I got all of that. Anyway, question. Would it be better dividing the duplexes between us or leaving them as they are because of the tax basis if one of us died or... let's see if I'm reading this right. Being divided for the intended inheritor, not being the spouses. Okay, but he says, my concern is the revocable trust being revoked by the surviving spouse. Do you know where he's going here on this?
Well, it sounds like this is a second marriage, and the heir, or at least one of the heirs, is from one party but not the other. And he's worried about what happens when either he or his new bride passes away, And does he leave everything for her and then hope that she doesn't change it for his heir or vice versa? Because if it stays a revocable living trust at the first death, then the surviving spouse has total control over changing anything you want. It sounds like if you've got heirs from previous marriages or heirs that you're worried about being disinherited, at least from your side of the equation, that you would want what's known as an A-B trust, a trust that is split into two pieces at either your passing or your spouse's passing. And the value, it doesn't necessarily have to be half of every asset in the trust, but an amount equal to the value of half of every asset in the trust is separated over into the B trust, and that is an irrevocable trust at death. And the other half remains with the surviving spouse, and the surviving spouse can do whatever they want with it. Their share of the trust continues on as a revocable trust. The decedent's share of the trust is an irrevocable trust, and they can't. So the survivor
so they can't change it.
Not change the beneficiaries. Now the biggest problem with that is who are you going to name as trustee? If you're really worried about the surviving spouse disinheriting, well, if you name that individual the sole trustee, then they have the ability to move things around, and it's very difficult for the heir to see what's happening until it's too late, or they have to sue your surviving spouse for access and sue them for wrongful numbers and things like that. So you may want to, at that point, as soon as, if you die or if your spouse dies, because what's good for the goose is good for the gander, you got to do it both ways. Yeah, if you die, you set the heir up as a co-trustee and make sure that they have they know what's going on with the splitting of the assets and the B trust.
An A-B trust is what we're looking at here.
Yes.
You don't have as much use for them anymore since we have the portability and all that, right?
There's always been two reasons to have a B trust or a splitting where upon the first death of a married couple, the part of the decedent's assets go into an irrevocable trust. It used to be we would do that for two reasons. One was the estate tax exemption. We didn't have portability. We would lose that estate tax exemption if we didn't split it up that way. But the other reason, and this is still a reason to have one today, is control and management and to protect your estate, your side of it, from your surviving spouse getting either bamboozled, hoodwinked, or willingly giving it away to somebody else.
Exactly what Hans's question is.
And usually we see this more with second marriages, kids from prior marriages on both sides or one side, maybe the new spouse is similar in age to the kids. I mean, do you really want the kids waiting until the surviving spouse, even as well as they get along, to inherit their share of it when the surviving spouse is younger than the kids? I mean,
we've seen that happen.
But
too,
it also, we've seen it, we've seen it where, especially with younger passing, where somebody passed away at 50, 55, and they thought, well, we don't have the estate tax exemption issue, we don't have the control issue. I mean, the surviving spouse loves the kids, but maybe because of the death in the family, there's the problems with the surviving spouse and the kids, and they fall apart.
And then you wind up with
another
marriage.
And then they get married to somebody else, and all of a sudden now they're disinherited.
It's happened.
I've seen it, unfortunately, too many times.
Vic in Seattle. One radio pundit in Seattle, says Vic, is claiming that you must file and suspend by May 1st, 2016, or lose the ability to get half of your ex-wife's Social Security. We were married for 10 years. I was born before January 1st, 54. Don't plan to file and suspend for two more years when I turn 66. She will get maximum benefits when she turns 67 in 2027, as she has a very high income. Is this correct about the May 1st, 2016 change? Thank you.
Well, Vic, this goes into the category of don't believe everything you hear. The person that was talking was either not clarifying it well enough or didn't know what they were talking about and just trying to scare you.
I pick option B.
You're not going to be 66 for two more years. You do not have the ability to file and suspend and let your spouse take a benefit. Plus, your spouse is more than 5 years younger than you, 4 years younger than you. It wouldn't have made a difference anyway, because by the time your spouse got to full retirement age under the old rules, you would have been 70 anyway, and you would have been receiving your benefit anyway. So there was nothing in here. First off, The guy said the wrong date. It's April 29th. Second off, you can't do anything to grandfather you into the file and suspend. Third thing is, you don't need to file and suspend because your wife's not old enough. You have a significantly younger spouse, so she can't take a benefit from you until you're already 70 anyway. So, not much you can do.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, unless Vic may have heard them wrong.
It's
possible
that it was just very difficult to clear. It is confusing.
Although, I'm not putting out of the realm of possibility that the radio pundit, whoever that is, had gotten it incorrect as well. Because I've heard supposed journalists, financial people, people who are supposed to know this stuff, come out and say incorrect. I don't know that it's intentional, but give out incorrect advice on this.
Now, he was born before January 1st, 1954.
Yes.
So he potentially, and this is a very extreme potential, could do a restricted application, but not with his current spouse. Because to be able to take a spousal benefit, the spouse that you're pulling from has to be receiving their benefit. She won't be old enough. You are not going to be able to do either one of the strategies because of the age difference.
Yep, exactly. And that's for the current spouse. Okay, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, more of your emails, but we got lines open. Give us a call. Stick around. There's more Bucket Strategy Investing.
If you were born on or after January 2nd, 1954, listen carefully. Recent changes enacted by the Social Security Administration as part of the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2015 may impact your Social Security benefits. The policy that previously enabled spouses at full retirement age to claim spousal benefits while allowing their own benefit to grow has been discontinued. This could mean the accrual of additional benefits may no longer be available to you. Changes will also soon be implemented regarding file and suspend claiming strategies. Find out the latest rules, regulations, and restrictions by calling the Social Security hotline at 800-838-0483. The call is free and may clarify some of the new Social Security rules that could affect your benefits. If you were born after January 2nd, 1954, you could be affected. Call 800-838-0483. 800-838-0483. The Social Security hotline is not endorsed by or a service of the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Lucia Capital Group is not affiliated with the Social Security Administration.
Set it and forget it. Out of sight, out of mind, hands off. For many investors, that's how they perceive their 401k plans. Even when they leave their jobs, they leave their 401k investments untouched. Is there more you can do for your retirement with some hands-on guidance supported by a strategy? Learn the options and potentially the advantages. Schedule a rollover review with Lucia Capital Group. Learn how easy it is to take control of your retirement by rolling a 401k into a Buckets portfolio. The retirement planning advisors at Lucia Capital Group work directly with each client to develop a strategy geared to their goals. Learn how you may be able to diversify your retirement plan. Take a closer look at the fees you may be paying with an old 401k that's out of sight, out of mind. Call Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
Hey, Mom, I got your message. Do you need me to come home early?
Hi, dear. We're all doing fine. The kids haven't slowed down all day, and thanks to Blue Emu, neither have I.
But I thought you said...
Well, I tried your father's Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief Cream. It worked fast to relieve the pain in my achy muscles and joints.
Blue Emu, huh?
That's right, and it's odor-free.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces too for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
I've been teaching organic chemistry for the last 17 years, so I'm pretty good with complex calculations. But when I started thinking about my retirement, I was pretty stumped. Luckily, I have TIAA as my financial partner. Together, we retrosynthetically analyzed my financial future, which is organic chem speak for we figured it out.
See how we're helping those who do good do well at the new TIAA.org. TIAA, created to serve, built to perform.
It is Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum, whom we welcome back from his sojourn, or wherever he happened to be, back here into the studio. Answer your money question. We took a lot of calls today. We have so far. We still have a little bit of room on the phones and a little bit of time. We do have room on the phones. 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We'll get to another email or two and some trivia in just a moment. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be talking about something close to nothing, but different than the day before. There. Can I say that today? Sure. Why not? No, tomorrow we're going to be talking about reverse dollar cost averaging. That is one thing that is so often ignored by people, and I mean by a lot of financial professionals who advocate these systematic withdrawals from these from your retirement plan. You know, you just take a chunk of money out of your.
I'm going to term it the total portfolio distribution method.
Total portfolio.
They just look at the total portfolio, and as long as it's earning, that you just take it from the total portfolio.
Right, because you know who cares? You know, some of it is stock. There may
be
some bonds.
As long as you're balanced. I mean,
right, exactly. So we're going to take a big chunk of the pie off, or whatever it is. Take a bite out of the sandwich, and whatever's left over, we're just going to compress and make a whole sandwich out of it again. Don't you worry your pretty little head about anything else. We got things taken care of for you. Oh, what do you mean? Your portfolio is down. Well, yeah, the market's down, of course, but we're going to continue to take money that you need out of this, right? It's wrong. So there are ways to avoid reverse dollar cost averaging, and we use it in what's called a buckets strategy. Talked a little bit about that with Terry Keyes earlier this week, so we'll discuss what reverse dollar cost averaging is. Coming up tomorrow on this program with you and me and Professor Rick Plum. Again, 877-PLANNER, our number. Oh, trivia time for today. This coming from Standard and Poor's. How do you like that? Technology stocks represented 34.5% of the total market capitalization of the S&P 500 as of March 24, 2000. That is to say, at the index's peak before the dot-com bubble burst. Tech stocks represented just 20.7% of the S&P 500's market cap as of the end of last year, 12/31/15. Well, I haven't seen what the actual average is as far as tech stocks. Obviously, tech stocks haven't been around all that long, you know, maybe 20, 30, 35 years, something like that. I mean, true tech stocks. But it seems to me, Professor Plum, 34.5% of the S&P 500 containing tech companies seems a little high.
Well, it was a little high, and that's we found out what happens when you get over-concentrated in one area. You know, a little after that date that they were talking about in 2000. I mean, basically, back then, if you just put the name .com behind your name and had some kind of technology-related product, even if you didn't make a profit, Even if you weren't covering your bills, those companies were just selling like crazy, which was crazy. Yeah, irrational exuberance. Remember that term? So it, yeah, I mean, yeah. It has to come back because there's still other parts of the economy. Tech does not make up a third of our economy.
Well, it we looked at the Dow too. I mean, I don't remember what made up the Dow, but I mean, if you looked at some of the stocks that we saw in some of these tech portfolios, you know, I was talking with Terry about this earlier this week, where a diversified portfolio, no, a safe portfolio meant that you put your money. Who is it that said, I went to safety, I put all my money in the triple Qs, you know?
Right. He didn't have a specific tech stock he wanted to buy at the moment. So he said, I've pulled back, and for conservative sake, I've just put my money in the triple Q, which is the NASDAQ ETF. But it's like, well, that wasn't safe. But stocks, anything that is invested in stocks is not, quote unquote, safe. I don't care how safe you think it is, it's still a stock. Or the underlying assets are still stocks. They move. Sometimes.
Exactly.
A lot.
A lot, a lot.
Sometimes very nicely in your favor. Sometimes not. Sometimes very not so nicely.
All right, let's see here. Tom, let's see. I got a lot of numbers on Tom's email. I may have to shorten that a little bit. So let's try Pam in San Diego. I'm 61. My husband's 64. I currently earn $12,000 a year gross. My Social Security would be $670 at 62, about $900 at 66, or $1,250 at age 70. My husband currently earns $50,000 a year gross. His Social Security, $2,000 or so at 64, $2,300 at 66, or almost $3,200 at 70. My husband's income has been decreasing in the last 3 years, and he's thinking he will retire at 66. Do you know what a strategy is for them? Do we have enough info?
We don't know anything about their longevity.
Right.
But let's assume we have some.
Okay, well, at least one of them.
Excuse me. Let's assume that one of them has some longevity. And it sounds, well, she's working, but she's only making $12,000. Assuming she doesn't expect to pick up any more income through the years, even though she's, what, 61? When she turns 62, she can apply for a benefit. It'll be a reduced benefit, but hers is a small benefit, so I'm not as worried about that at this point. So she can either apply at 62 or at some time between now and when her husband reaches 66. The idea is that I would like for her to be receiving a benefit by the time he turns 66. So let's say that, you know, they're 3 years apart, so she's 63. When she turns 63, he turns 66, she applies for her benefit at that point. Yes, it's reduced. But he would then get a benefit equal to 50% of her, not her benefit that she's receiving, because she's receiving a reduced benefit. He would receive 50% of her full retirement age benefit. Now, he can't get a benefit prior to 66, his own or hers, because he's making too much money. And they don't expect him to quit until 66. So until he gets to 66, he's making too much money, he won't be able to get it anyway. But once he turns 66, assuming we have some longevity on either side, his waiting until age 70 makes a lot of sense. But his goal going cold turkey to age 70 doesn't make a lot of sense. You might as well pick up about $450, $460 a month from age 66 to 70. And he does still have this option because he was at least 62 by the end of 2015.
Right.
He's 64 now. So he was old enough when it mattered. He is grandfathered in to the restricted application as long as she is receiving her benefit when he applies for the spousal benefit. And it works out that way. So she should apply at some point between 62 and his age 66. He applies for a restricted application. The spousal will only benefit at 66. Then he goes back in at 70 and applies for his age 70, much enhanced. Mm-hmm. And when he applies at 70, she gets a bump in pay too, because half of his, or even a reduced portion of his, is a lot more than what she's receiving. She'll get more money too.
There you go. There's your answer. Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum, we're out of time for today, but if you need the Brain Trust, including Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group off the air, you can reach them at 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I am Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.